take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Well, on the earth.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, good day, tokers and tokens and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, April 5th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So glad you could join us today on what is turning out to be a pretty decent day in the Pacific Northwest. We are here high atop one of these condo towers on the South Waterfront and looking out over the eastern half of Portland, Oregon, and multiple green shades of trees out there. It's just a beautiful day with the mountains in the background, Mount Hood's out there somewhere obscured by clouds, and we are here looking eastward to the rest of the United States where marijuana is fighting to regain its status as the most important crop. I should say cannabis. We're talking about the plant. Cannabis is the plant. Marijuana is the dried stuff that you smoke from the plant. We strive to be accurate here at the Russ Belville Show, where cannabis is striving to be free across all of the United States. And we are pushing this wave of freedom eastward. And we've got plenty of stories to tell you today about that. Our guest today coming up in the activist agenda is Chris Thompson from National Normal. He's going to be telling us all about the Normal primary election membership drive, trying to get more interest for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Get your membership in today and make a difference. I mean, this is how we spread the gospel, if you will, of cannabis legalization, is we need to support our local organizations and our national organizations that are fighting so hard to bring this message eastward across the United States. And I tell you, I travel a lot. I'll be traveling a whole lot this year, 40,000 air miles in the first 6 months alone. And it's a blessing to be where I'm at right now in Portland, Oregon, where I am legal when I walk down the street. If I smell like weed, it's no big deal. If there's a little bit of weed in my pocket that I forgot or that I remembered, it's no big deal. And when I travel eastward and I'm in Texas or Georgia or Virginia, you can feel it. It's a palpable feeling. Even Arizona, a feeling of being a criminal once again. And I want to end that feeling for everyone who's listening to my voice. And together we'll be able to do this. So we're going to bring you Chris Thompson from Normal today. We're also going to bring you our cannabis radio news. In the headlines today, we look to our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., where our federal legislators are so far behind where the people are on this issue. We've got two stories coming from Washington, D.C. to tell you all about that will make that quite obvious to you. Also, we follow that up with two stories from Illinois, where the lawmakers in Illinois are kind of going the opposite direction on medical marijuana as some of the legal states are going on recreational marijuana. And we've got stories on decriminalization, one from Illinois and another one from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where we actually broke the news of this with our guest, Patrick Nightingale from Pittsburgh Normal, a while back on the show, but it's finally hitting the headlines, so we'll bring it to you today, how Pittsburgh is not really decriminalizing, but doing as close to decrim as they possibly can. We'll get into that, plus other stories coming up on the Russ Belville Show today, and then we'll take it into Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, where we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. Coming up this hour, we'll get behind the headlines with Whoopi Goldberg, and she's joining up with some of our friends like Rick Cusick, formerly of High Times, on her products to relieve menstrual cramps and pain for women. And Vox.com says there's no science behind that. We'll get into that behind the headlines.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We'll be right back. legal to listen to all over the world.
We're just not sure about France.
CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolut, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Chronicling the latest cannabis industry news and headlines.
Well, with four states with tax and regulate and the District of Columbia.
The state of cannabis.
Oh my God, it's refreshing. We have people that generally wouldn't speak on behalf of cannabis for fear of retribution, fear of losing your practices, fear of many of those things, and find ourselves in a place that we finally can.
Bringing you fact-based news and views and keeping listeners on the pulse of what's happening in the industry today.
The state of cannabis.
On demand anytime, only on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
With over 6 years of experience in the industry, New Era CPAs is one of the nation's leading cannabis accounting firms, helping hundreds of growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies with their tax, legal, and business strategies. New Era CPAs offices cover the West Coast from Seattle to San Diego, and their skilled team is always available to help you take your business to the next level. Visit NewEraCPAs.com for more info and set up a consultation. Welcome to the new era.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Tuesday, April 5th, 2016. The Washington, D.C. Council today again reversed its position on a law banning the consumption of marijuana anywhere outside a private home, even though it is legal for adults to use and possess up to 2 ounces of marijuana in the district. By voting 7-6 today in favor of B21-107, which would make the social use ban permanent, the council ignored its own prior decision to make the ban temporary and set up a task force to study the issue. The task force, which the council voted to create on February 2nd, was intended to study how D.C. could move forward to end the ban and allow marijuana consumption in private venues, although that bill will not officially become law until April 29th, following congressional review. Steps have already been taken by the mayor and the council to set up the task force. This is the second unusual reversal by the council. Earlier this year, the council voted to let the ban expire, but then reopened the vote and reversed itself after receiving pressure from the mayor. There will be one more vote on the social consumption ban before it is finalized. Rather than move forward with the CARES Act that would assist the states with 21st century marijuana legalization, the Senate held a hearing today to revive old 20th century reefer madness. The hearing of the Senate Caucus on International Narcotics Control was convened by longtime drug warrior Senators Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa, and Dianne Feinstein, Democrat of California, to investigate whether the U.S. Justice Department has been lax in enforcing international drug control treaties with respect to the 4 U.S. states that have legalized cannabis. The D.C.-based Drug Policy Alliance called the hearings a one-sided prohibitionist party, featuring testimony from an advisory member of the anti-legalization group Project SAM and Nebraska's attorney general who failed to stop Colorado's legalization at the U.S. Supreme Court. Senator Grassley said, quote, "Our country's in the middle of an epidemic of addiction focused on heroin and prescription opioids," adding, "If the Obama administration is serious about addressing this epidemic, it should stop burying its head in the sand about what's happening to its enforcement priorities on recreational marijuana," end quote. Illinois lawmakers rejected a measure that would have required medical marijuana products to carry warning labels about possible side effects. Democrats who opposed the bill Monday argued the labels are unnecessary because doctors already give patients a briefing on what to expect from marijuana before prescribing it. The House Substance Abuse Special Committee rejected the measure on a 5-3 vote, with only Republicans voting in favor. The bill's sponsor, Republican Representative Dwight Kaye, argued that people who are not medical marijuana users but may come in contact with it should be aware of possible side effects like dizziness, impaired thought, or delirium. Medical marijuana sales began in Illinois in November under a 4-year pilot program. The Urbana, Illinois City Council has approved an ordinance to lower the fine for possessing less than 30 grams of marijuana from $300 to $50. The Champaign News-Gazette reports that the council approved the ordinance last week at a committee of the whole meeting after two amendments failed to get enough support. Members of the public praised the council for making the change in an effort to address the disparate impact of such fines between black and white people. But activist Martell Miller argued that the ordinance won't change the root of the problem, racial profiling by police. The lowered fine came from a recommendation by the city's Illinois Department of Transportation Traffic Stop Task Force to place a moratorium on tickets for cannabis possession given out in traffic stops. The Pittsburgh City Council has passed a new depenalization measure for marijuana possession by an 8-1 vote. The new measure does not decriminalize marijuana possession, but rather changes it from a misdemeanor to a summary offense. With the change, those adults caught with less than 30 grams of marijuana flower or 8 grams of hashish will be charged with violating certain defined conduct. While there will be a criminal record, there will be no mention of marijuana or controlled substance to be searched for, and the summary can be expunged after 5 years. This summary offense will not require an arrest or fingerprinting and will result in up to a $100 fine. Officials originally wanted to reduce possession to a civil fine only, but a quirk in Pennsylvania law means only Philadelphia has the power to process such civil fines. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Tuesday, April 5th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
Being green is good. Growing green is good. Making green is great. CannabisRadio.com.
Gondrepreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Gondrepreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Gondrepreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Gondrepreneur.com, helping gondrepreneurs grow.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
All the mainstream media is abuzz now about the story of Whoopi Goldberg getting involved in the cannabis industry with her new line of products meant to help women who are dealing with frustrations from menstrual cramps, menstrual pain. And there's a new article out on Vox.com from their science and health section. It says Whoopi Goldberg is launching a line of marijuana products to treat period pain. There's no science behind them. Well, folks, this is another case where saying that there's no science behind something we know about marijuana to be true is not indicative of it not being true. The science isn't there because marijuana has been a Schedule I controlled substance, and we haven't been allowed to do the kind of science that today's modern science says is science, right? Like, they say it's anecdotal evidence, but when we're talking about anecdotal evidence that goes back to Queen Victoria using this for her menstrual cramps, and prior to that, going back to the Chinese using it for all manner of pain relief, then, yeah, there's some science. It's just not the kind of science that modern science likes. The kind of double-blind, placebo-controlled science, rather than thousands of years of historical use for these particular ailments. So according to the story, it says there's absolutely no science behind marijuana as an analgesic for period pain. And that's right there. It's a little bit of weasel wordy, right? Because there is evidence, even scientific, modern, double-blind, placebo-controlled evidence for marijuana as an analgesic. We're definitely finding that, especially with respect to neuropathic pain. But is there anything specifically about period pain? Well, no. We haven't had a study that recruited X number of women who are between puberty and menopause, who half of them are pot smokers and half of them aren't, and then monitored them after giving them a placebo or giving them... We didn't know. We haven't done all that. But what we do have is every single stoner chick guy know from the past 25 years has told me there's nothing better in the world than marijuana for their period pain. I used to be married to a woman who got her medical marijuana card for endometriosis, a severe form of this disorder, this problem. So, yeah, there is plenty of evidence for it. It's just not in that scientific vein. So it's unfair of this writer on Vox.com to make this kind of, you know, a clickbait headline when, yeah, there's no science, but there's no science really on a lot of things that we know to be true. So this continues to say the best available research backing pot and pain suggests the drug may be helpful for muscle spasms and chronic pain caused by conditions including neuropathy and cancer. But just because there's some evidence that cannabis works for some types of chronic pain, this obstetrician they interviewed, it shouldn't be extrapolated to period-related issues. Pain is extremely complicated, and the biological mechanisms that cause chronic pain or muscle spasms aren't the same as the ones that lead to menstrual cramps, he said. So it's unlikely that a treatment that works for one type of pain will work for another. Well, what do they give to women? What do they recommend women do when they are experiencing menstrual cramps and pain, right? They give them Midol. They give them various drugs that have been marketed for this purpose for years and years that have been recommended by the FDA. And what are the active ingredients in those drugs? Oh, yeah, they're the same damn active ingredients you find in the over-the-counter pain relievers that people are using for headaches and backaches and other types of pain. It's about time that we stopped asking the scientists here to completely validate what works and doesn't work as medicine, and maybe start asking the patients what works and doesn't work as medicine. And I could understand some skepticism and some worry about this if we were talking about some new manufactured artificial compound that hadn't been thoroughly tested and we didn't know what the side effects were or the long-term ramifications are. But we are talking about cannabis, something that has been used for over 7,000 years of human history, with not one recorded death by overdose, with very little side effects and far fewer side effects than those which we tolerate from the drugs that we're giving women for their period cramps, for their pain. So excuse me if it just seems a little paternalistic here. And oddly enough, the article on Vox.com written by a woman, Julia Belouz, I will assume she's a woman, but does seem to me a little bit paternalistic to tell Whoopi Goldberg and other women that are getting behind this business that there's no science behind their relief of period pain, and to try to cast them as selling some sort of snake oil and putting together some sort of scheme to bilk women, well-meaning women that want to try to get some relief from a common ailment here. And instead, maybe just take women's word for it that this stuff really works. All right. Well, that bell, that's the rare one. It's only one out of like 90 that has the bell. I had to keep one bell in there, Big Daddy Fink. Sorry. That bell means it's 20 after. That means it's 4:20 in the Mountain Time Zone. Happy 4:20 to our friends in Denver who started this ball rolling. We're going to keep it rolling until all 50 states are legal. We'll be back right after this.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing. So are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up!
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat? More flavor.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
All you have to do is decriminalize. We don't need a government regulation to tell us this is good pot, that's bad pot. We don't need any of that.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people.
Okay, maybe you're high, too.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Drug War Data Mines, we take a look at the world of finance and in particular marijuana stocks. And while a lot of the marijuana stocks out there are traded on the over-the-counter, the pink sheets that are far less regulated and much riskier than your typical investments that are overseen by the Securities and Exchange Commission, there is one stock out there that is very, very recognized and is trading on NASDAQ, as a matter of fact. And that would be the stock for GW Pharmaceuticals. You can look it up on NASDAQ as GWPH. And we're looking at a story here on Motley Fool, the investment website, fool.com, entitled, Why This Marijuana Stock Skyrocketed 79% in March. That's right, GW Pharmaceuticals stock increase 79.5%, so almost 80% increase in the value of GW Pharma's stock, according to data from S&P's Global Market Intelligence. And the big reason for this, as we reported in the Cannabis Radio News, was remarkable results in one of their, the first of their four phase three clinical trials for a formulation of theirs called Epidiolex. Epidiolex is their version of CBD oil, basically. It's a little more complex than that. It's still a whole plant extract that they're making. GW is a British drug maker, and they have legal cannabis plants they're growing out there in the UK. They make their Epidiolex from this. And they had their most recent clinical trials that showed they had 120 patients with Dravet syndrome, that severe form of childhood epilepsy that was recognized in the Sanjay Gupta special, Weed. anyway, they took 120 of these kids with Dravet syndrome, randomized them, gave some of them placebo, gave some of them Epidiolex. Kids that got Epidiolex had 39% reduction in monthly seizures compared to the placebo kids, who only saw a reduction in 11%. Which already, that's kind of interesting that 11% actually had reduced seizures just because they believed they'd be getting cannabis. But anyway, 39% reduction, and that's a huge move because this is starting to provide the scientific backing necessary to start moving cannabis into the realm of the pharmaceuticals, into a rescheduled substance that can pass FDA approval through these clinical trials. And GW believes that this could lead to their approval by the Food and Drug Administration by as early as next year. The end of next year, 2017, could be the last year that there are no cannabinoid pharmaceuticals. Epidiolex could be on the shelves. Behind that, they're working on Sativex. Sativex is a more THC based drug. They haven't had as good results with that in their clinical trials. A lot of people point to there being a lack of the entourage effect, all the other cannabinoids and terpenes working in concert together as they do with whole plant. But all of this underscores how the direction of medical marijuana is going to unfold in this capitalist world of healthcare. It's going to become sprays and tinctures and pills and inhalers that are carefully controlled, carefully dosed, carefully ratioed to be exactly the same every time you purchase it. And it'll be paid for by people's health insurance. It'll be perfectly legal in all 50 states and internationally. That is the direction of cannabinoid medicines. Now, I'm not against that. I am for any scientific advance that can be made that might take the benefit of cannabis and bring it to any patient anywhere for any purpose. However, we need to be careful that this isn't the only way patients are allowed to get their cannabis medicine. And I fear with the great monetary value in patenting and controlling cannabinoid medicines, I mean, an 80% stock surge in a month is nothing to sneeze at, that we risk the danger of medical marijuana being its own specific category, that there is no more such thing as medical marijuana. There's marijuana, the plant that stoners use to get high, and there's cannabinoid pharmaceuticals, the medicines that GW and other companies make to heal the sick. In fact, what I believe is happening in a sense of framing and a sense of law, is that the era of, quote, medical marijuana, end quote, as a legal status, as a political tactic, is coming to a close. 1996 to 2016 is the beginning of the end. Perhaps by 2020, there'll be enough of those cannabinoid pharmaceuticals out there that will be the end of the medical marijuana era. And if people want to have cannabis as a plant they can cultivate for themselves and use as medicine, what we've come to know as medical marijuana on the West Coast, then it's time for those patients and their advocates to be fighting for marijuana legalization. Because this direction means that medical marijuana will be separated from us. We will lose control of that frame. It will become cannabinoid pharmaceuticals. And they will be in control of that, and that will fall all under the Controlled Substances Act and prescriptions and doctors like every other drug out there. If you want to be able to use the whole plant, it's time to get behind the whole plant. Time to get behind everybody's right to access this whole plant and use it for whatever purposes they deem fit, without the permission of a government, without the permission of a clerk, without the permission of a doctor. All right, we're going to take a break. And speaking of marijuana legalization and the whole plant, Chris Thompson is next with National Normal, talking about the primary election membership drive. I'm Radical Russ, live from Portland, Oregon. We're back right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
Ganjapreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Ganjapreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Ganjapreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Ganjapreneur.com, helping Ganjapreneurs grow.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
What the hell are we paying you for?
Are you stupid?
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Hey, everybody. It's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, everyone. 32 after the hour, and joining us today in the activist agenda, we've got Chris Thompson. How you doing, Chris? Good to see you again.
Pretty good. How about you? And it's great to be on again. Thank you.
I'm glad to have you here, but I'm not exactly sure which title I should be using for you. Are you still with National Normal, or did you move to Freedom Leaf?
I'm an employee of Freedom Leaf, but my title there is a nonprofit liaison manager. So basically, my entire job is to work with groups like FSDP and Normal to help them thrive, do fundraisers, and kind of coordinate events and do promotion.
Okay. So a natural transition from you had been working at Normal, now you're working at Freedom Leaf, coordinating with all these other groups.
Yeah, and mostly I'm working with Normal right now. Like, I'm still in contact with everyone at the national staff, and we're putting together this membership drive. So it's still in direct communication, just a little bit of different location.
Right on. Okay, that's great to hear. Well, let's talk about this membership drive. We had brought it up with Kevin Mamalji a couple of weeks ago, but we want to refresh everyone's minds about this and how you're tying it to this exciting election season. So give people the pitch.
Yeah, well, we're throwing the National Normal Presidential Primary Membership Drive, which is an awesome membership drive that started a couple weeks ago and is going until May 31st. And basically, we're just trying to get a ton of people involved with Normal because it's one of the best times to get involved with Normal right now with the, like Russ said, crazy election season that's going on. We really want to get people involved with National Normal and get them involved at local level. So we're offering special membership packages, limited edition, that contain a great amount of merchandise and great things that you can get with the membership packages. So for the $30 package, you get a t-shirt, you get stickers, you get things from our sponsors like Hempwick, Elixir, Nug Media, a ton of great promotional items for just $30. And then at the $60 level, at the candidate package, get everything in the $30 package plus a ton of great stuff like a Normal pin, Normal wristband, a magazine, plus a signed color poster from Hippo TV. So you're getting a ton of great stuff in these packages, and basically we're just trying to get a ton of people involved. You can check all of that out at freedomleaf.com/normal.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Maui Wowie, Acapulco Gold, California Kush, our strain stretch everywhere too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be. The Vuber way.
Growing green to generate more green.
Hello to all you happy herbalizers, smiling trippy hippies, and everyone who believes in freedom and tolerance. This is The Grow Show, and I'm Kyle Cushman.
From food to fuel, from remedy to resource.
Welcome my guest, Ed Rosenthal, the guru of ganja. Let me ask you, right now I hear your lighter clicking. Are you smoking indoor, or are you smoking sun-grown?
What am I smoking? I'm smoking concentrate.
Way to get out of the answer there. So you're truly like the king, right? You just clap your hands and somebody brings you a bowl and you're all set, right?
I wish that were the case.
The Grow Show with Kyle Cushman, only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
As it relates to my brother, there's one thing I know for sure. He kept us safe.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it. And didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Today in the Radical Rant, I want to talk a little bit about the prohibitionists out there, the few that still remain, and how they've become so predictable. It's just so easy anymore to deal with their reefer madness. It's you could just have a card that you could hold up. It's almost like playing bingo. That's what I'm really thinking here, is that we could make bingo cards, prohibitionist bingo cards. And we could just have a few entries in there. You know, some of the popular ones like Watsy, right? What about the children? Watsy. And Smoff, stoned mayhem on the freeways, right? But there's a few more out there. And I don't have any clever acronyms for them yet, but you can bet that I will in the future. But there's a few more out there that I was reminded of through my Twitter account. This was in a battle today with Tide C 2014, which I'm purposely making fun of. It's T-I-E-D-C 2014, which stands for Two is Enough DC 2014. This was the prohibitionist campaign against Washington, D.C.'s marijuana legalization from 2014. You know, the one that passed with almost 71% of the vote. So here's a guy who's representing less than 30% of the voters of D.C. who want to return to marijuana prohibition. And he's still using the account from 2014. Two is enough, D.C. Now, what do you mean by two is enough? Did he mean two legal marijuana states is enough? Because I hit him on that. I said, don't you need to change your name to four is enough, D.C.? Because now there's four legal states, right? But no, what the two is enough stands for is the two legal drugs. And this opens us up to the first common fallacy of the prohibitionists. The two is enough fallacy. Why?
We've already got two legal drugs on the menu, alcohol and tobacco. And my God, alcohol and tobacco, they kill hundreds of thousands of people. My God, alcohol alone, the wrecks on the freeway and the deaths and the spousal abuse and the crime and the tobacco. Oh, my God, the emphysema and the cancer and the stinky hallways and all of that. Oh, we've already got two legal drugs. Why would we ever want to add a third? That's the two is enough fallacy. And the problem with the two is enough fallacy is it pretends that marijuana doesn't already exist. Like nobody's using it now. Like it's not already the third most popular substance in the country. Like it's not already more popular among teenagers than one of the legal drugs, cigarettes, are. It pretends that if we legalize, poof, all of a sudden there's marijuana. Oh no. And all of the attendant harms of marijuana. The fact is that marijuana already exists. It's already here. It's already been here for a while, and there's already a lot of people who really like it. So whatever harms there are, and I'm not saying there are many, but whatever harms there are already exist. If there's a problem with people smoking pot and driving, that already exists. If there's a problem with people smoking pot and not going to school or not showing up to work, that's already there. If there's a problem with people smoking pot and not being good parents, it already exists. Now, I don't think any of those things are necessarily true. But if they were, it's already there. There's already plenty of people using pot. Now, their idea is that, well, you know, you legalize it and then more people will use it because now it's legal. Well, this presupposes that the only thing that's stopping people from using marijuana is keeping our thumb down on them. Keeping the threat of losing everything over their heads is keeping them from using pot. Otherwise, they'd all use pot. Well, what does that say about pot? That the only thing that's keeping people from using it is telling people not to. That, don't you think if it was terribly awful, people would come to that of their own accord? You wouldn't need to coerce them. Like, there's no law out there telling people not to use hemlock or belladonna or nightshade because those things will kill you, right? Nobody has to be told. There doesn't have to be a cop standing there. Now, don't, whatever you do, don't use that. No, because, you know, nature takes care of that. Darwin takes care of that, right? Too many people using that stuff, they die. What does it say about the drug that they have to prohibit it to keep you away from it? Now, extend that thinking. Extend that thinking to other drugs. Well, you know, there's only so many people that are using acid. But if it were legal, everybody'd start using it. Do you really think that's true? Do you think the only thing stopping people from, you know, using tons of heroin is the fact that it's illegal? No. I mean, the fact that we're having this opioid epidemic when it comes to the prescription painkillers kind of tells us that's not true. So there are some other fallacies here, but they're all kind of couched right there in the guy's name. Two is enough, DC, as if we're going to somehow eliminate or eradicate marijuana use or stop it by keeping it illegal. And if anything, 80 years of prohibition have demonstrated to us that we can't. Prohibition that was more severe in the past didn't stop this. In fact, we started off with about 100,000 marijuana smokers in the country, according to Harry J. Anslinger back in the day, the 30s, right? About 100,000. That was in his quote. Most of them being Filipinos, Negroes, entertainers, and Hispanics. But 100,000, and now there's 28 million after 80 years of prohibition. You know, start of the 60s, it was maybe a 500,000 people were pot smokers, maybe. By the end of the 70s, again, tens of millions. So it's not as if this is stopping anybody, this prohibition. So let me get to some of the other logical fallacies contained in here. He came back at me with the
Oh, because I had mentioned my rant today, my radical rant, which was the one I did yesterday on the show, published today on hightimes.com, is it better than your prohibition now? Right. This is my rant about, you know, the stoners against legalization who don't like the California legalization plan because it's not as good as they'd like. It's not as legal. But, well, that's not a question. The question is it better than the prohibition you have now? And so Two as an FTC came back at me saying that that was an unfair analogy, misleading use of the word prohibition because it implies alcohol prohibition, which only failed. It's only failed because the alcohol industry had existed for so long and people had used marijuana for so long. And that's where we get into another one of his fallacies, which I call the, if we only could have banned alcohol sooner fallacy. This is the fallacy where they say, well, you can't compare alcohol prohibition to marijuana prohibition because alcohol prohibition, well, we were trying to ban something that had been around for 5,000 years. We had a whole culture set up around alcohol. We had a whole industry of brewers and distributors worldwide. So it was a futile attempt to try to ban alcohol because it was just too late. The inference here is that we can ban marijuana now because we're going to catch it in the nick of time. We're going to catch it before it's too late. We can do it now because there isn't yet a marijuana industry. But see, here's where that one falls apart. First of all, the idea that the only things that made alcohol prohibition fail was the existence of an alcohol industry is fallacious on a number of counts. Number one, alcohol prohibition wasn't anything like marijuana prohibition. You could be an alcohol consumer and not face any penalties. You could possess alcohol and not face any penalties. It was the sellers and distributors and manufacturers of alcohol who got busted. But if you had gotten a stash of wine stored in your cellar by 1920, you could keep that stash and drink off it throughout the 20s and through the 30s until Prohibition was ended, if you had enough of it. During Prohibition, they used to sell these casks that had the grape juice, the raw grape juice in it. And you could buy them and they'd have instruction that went with them and said, whatever you do, don't put 2 cups of sugar in this and then store it in a dark, warm place and leave it there for 2 weeks because then it would become alcohol, which is illegal. So whatever you do, don't do that. So you could buy that. You think our grow shops, you know, that, yeah, I'd like some lights for wink. Tomatoes, right? You think that's a joke? Hell, back in Prohibition days, you could actually buy the stuff to make wine with the directions on how to make wine. Wink. So it wasn't anything like the prohibition we face today. So don't tell me the alcohol prohibition couldn't have worked because it wasn't even tried as stringently as marijuana prohibition is tried today. But the main thesis, of course, is that alcohol prohibition couldn't work because culture's been there for so long. We've had alcohol for so long. We've had the drinking for so long throughout history that there's just no eradicating it. Well, here's the problem for them with that argument, is that invalidates any argument they have that this is about public safety. Now, those arguments were already invalid because we know alcohol kills people and marijuana doesn't. But this adds to it by actually implicating them in agreeing with us. By them saying we couldn't have banned alcohol because it was too culturally entrenched and implying that we can ban marijuana now because it's not so culturally entrenched, they give up all ground on saying that this is a public safety issue because now they've just agreed with us that it's a culture war issue. We can go to war against this culture because it's not as entrenched. And I would argue, of course, that this culture is way more entrenched than they give it credit for. We go back in hemp culture in this country to 1611. We go back medical marijuana culture in this country back to 1850. And by that, I mean legit recognized by mainstream doctors in the United States pharmacopoeia type recognition. It was recognized as medicine long before that, but I'm talking, you know, the legit type, right?
And we've got recreational marijuana heritage in this country that goes back to the 1900s. It goes back to Louis freaking Armstrong. So if alcohol couldn't have been banned because it was culturally, the culture was there for too long, tell me how long it needs to be. Because we got 100 years of recreational culture, 250 years of medical marijuana culture, and over 400 years of industrial hemp culture in this country. We'll talk a little bit more about this DC Reefer Madness when we come back in Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. It's coming up next, plus your calls. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ, live in Portland, Oregon. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.